This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, September 13th.
Meeting is called to order at 4:45 p.m. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Here.
Yes.
Here.
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 Excuse.
Here.
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 Okay. Now CJ will conduct open microphone.
Anyone interested in speaking to the essay can do so now. You're all ex officio members of the student assembly, every single one of you. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a copy of the oath of office right now? We don't have a copy. Just the audio. Okay, we're going to hold off on the oath of office until next meeting. Andrew, but this brings us to our next point. We have a new representative for the student assembly. Mr. Andrew Wang is going to be filling in for the human ecology seat. He was the runner-up in the at-large election last spring. So welcome, Andrew. We'll make sure we do the official oath next week and sign your name to the conduct sheet. And it's a pleasure to have you on board.
I have a point of order. Can Andrew vote today if he didn't make the oath of office?
Yes.
Yes, he can.
Does anyone have any objections?
Because Andrew has filled in the spot either way, whether he took the oath or not. In the past, I think 2 years ago we waited one term before we actually signed the oath. So. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to announcements and reports. First announcement is an elections committee update by Mark Cooper.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Ben, this is a quick update. Everybody should have gotten their son today. Notice there's an article about our candidate tour at the Hamlet a couple days ago. And that went off really well. It was actually the most well-attended forum that I've been to since getting to Cornell. So that was heartening. And just as an update for the election tonight, next Thursday, the 20th, I'll, of course, remind everybody to grab the same meeting this week, but next Thursday, the 20th at 9 p.m. Is the election challenge series, and they'll be in Kauffman Auditorium in Goldman Smith. So, elections committee, i.e. seniors on the SA, and Jules Morwell on the UA, obviously, see you all there, and if you have any questions for me, let me know.
Any questions for Mark? See no questions for Mark. Move on to a Syracuse bus program update by Vince Hartman. Possible too that one of the freshmen or the transfers that are elected from this election might want to jump on board as well. And since they'll be here potentially for 3 or 4 years on the student assembly, they might be good to contact as well.
Okay.
If nobody here right now is interested in doing it. Okay. So as long as someone's volunteering right now, I think it'd be a good thing to give them.
Do you have time to mentor one of the new freshmen and work in tandem? Yeah, and work in tandem for the semester and the next semester.
And
assign a freshman to.
Well, if you guys work, like would you have time to work and play?
I'm looking at it more into every foot up to that.
Okay, so if this is something that people here are interested in, then go ahead and contact Vince sometime in the next week. Vince, if you receive no indicators of interest, then go ahead and prepare something so that a freshman or a transfer representative can take this over as their own project.
I just think someone is knowing that even if they didn't get elected, it's something to continue. That's the main thing. It has to continue regardless of the result of the assembly election.
Okay, understood. Yeah.
So we've encountered stuff like this in Greece and too, and one of the best ways to control is being institutionalized. So if you put it under the purview of someone's responsibility to be in the student assembly, that might be a great way to never have this problem. I think it came up with a great program, so I mean, I've gone to forever for this part of the executive vice president.
And that wouldn't be unprecedented either. I mean, right now we have liaisons to the Collegiate Readership Program, unofficial liaisons. We could do something similar to, like with this fence, if that's something that you'd be amenable to.
Yeah. As long as, personally
willing
to take on.
Okay. Great. Any other comments or questions for Vince? Okay. Moving on from there, we have a communications committee report from Arjun.
Hey everyone. The communications committee met yesterday at 5 p.m. It's a pretty relatively brief meeting. We just discussed goals for the semester, namely getting out the newsletter as an insert for another son, and also holding at least one forum and holding representatives responsible for the outreach events that they're required to hold every semester. So that's what we discussed. It was a pretty short meeting. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
Okay. Are there any other announcements or reports?
Yes. I'll go ahead and throw this in there now. Last week, Alana and I met with Robin Irwin from the Collegiate Leadership Program and USA Today. Just because Vince brought up the issue of somebody serving spearheading this program, we also are going to be looking for somebody over the next couple of weeks to take on the designated role, the liaison of the Collegiate Leadership Program, and. What we had tossed around is the idea of having one of the freshmen go ahead and fulfill that role because they'll be for the next 3 years, and they could actually develop a more thorough and long-lasting relationship than just one of the seniors or juniors who will be gone in a couple of years. So just so you guys know, that's what we're planning on. Once the freshmen are elected, hopefully one of them will show interest in it.
Any questions for Adam? Okay, see no other questions for Adam. Are there any other announcements or reports? Ron.
This is just the GPSA update. So the meeting was held here on Monday, and Susan Murphy was there, VP of Student Academic Services. She kind of gave like a little, like she talked about the graduate community initiative and stuff like that. Also, the two student trustees were there, Mal and Kate, and they kind of did their own thing. So some issues, I guess the Big Red Barn and everything wasn't big enough for all of them, so, and it's going to be closed for the summer, so I think they're going to be coming here. Alan Katz, the athletics person, he also talked, he said that 200 out of every 1,625 seats are reserved for the grad students. They also had elections. They had an election for one at-large seat and one master's degree seat, I guess. That was it. Do you guys have any questions?
Any questions for Ronnie? Other announcements or reports? Fine.
The budget hearings just started about 20 minutes ago. They will be in session until about the 6th, and then resuming at 7:30 until 9:30.
And Ian, about the budget hearings this weekend, if SA representatives want to go by and sit in this weekend, what times or dates would you recommend?
Okay. 10 a.m. until probably 4 on Saturday. And then again, this Friday tomorrow is
4:30. Okay. I know that the SA has expressed a lot of interest in having members of the SA present for some of these budget hearings. It can take an hour or two out of the day sometime this weekend. Go ahead and stop by, see how the process works. We're going to be pretty heavily involved in that later on in the semester, so it's pretty good to have some, you know, feet on the ground knowledge about what that's like.
Also, the budget hearings range anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes, so if you want to stop by,
yeah, if you don't feel you can make it this weekend, also just go ahead and stop by right after the meeting. Okay? Any questions for Ian? And other announcements or reports? Lance?
So you brought up the
are you the official liaison from the...
Actually,
me and I. All right. Sounds good. When you were speaking with... are you dealing with Rob and Aaron as well?
And Mike as well.
And Mike. Okay. Not true. Okay. Great. Any questions for Lance? Any other announcements or reports? Okay. Seeing no other announcements, we'll move on to business of the day. First item on business of the day is the approval of the 2007-2008 Student Assembly Budget by Vice President Gay.
Thank you, Lance. Does everybody have their budget out in front of them? Okay, we took a brief look at this last week. The numbers have slightly changed. Elections are about the same. Clerk salary has increased slightly. They're not paying you more. The orientation at the FC is the same, communication is the same. The communications budget was sent in an email last night, and so you guys had the opportunity to take a look at that broken out. I don't believe there's a copy in on that today. But everybody, Arjun, you were able to answer questions about that last week, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Are there any more questions about that?
And then finally, the broke out the revenue. The revenue this year is... they're comprised of the rollover from last year of around $9,000 and then our student activity fee allocation of about $36,000. And then finally, NASDAQ and Achmed had requested a breakdown of the committee expenditures. After conferring with the e-board this week, we felt that the most practical course was, instead of forcing committee chairs, some of the committees who haven't even met yet, to report back and plan their activities months ahead of time, they would go ahead and just pool the funds into a large category called committee expenditures. And that way, over the course of the year, the student assembly and the committees and the committee chairs will have the flexibility to go ahead and plan activities and with continued oversight from the SA. And our plan is that any these expenditures will obviously be vetted by the executive board, the appropriations committee, and then finally the student assembly. So there'll still be transparency, there's still accountability. But once again, we'll have more flexibility than trying to tie the chairs down right now into giving us a definitive number. And so everything should sum, and the budget is about $45,000. And once again, it's very possible that we won't spend all this money with students. Fine. So, any questions?
Okay, our speakers list. First person out. Vince?
Yeah, I had a quick question. I know from last year that for the Therapy Plus program, we did cut the sort of revenue from the program because more students attended and accepted. And I was wondering if we could stipulate that those 607 rollover that might came from the Therapy Plus program just for that so the students that paid for it might be just stipulated for the budget.
Okay, I'll have to go ahead and check with the office. I'm not sure how they, if they break down the revenue rollover, because the number that I got was just one solid number. She didn't actually break down what was from the asset. And I'm not even sure how the office accounts for the money from the bus program if they pool that in with the rest of the money. So I'll have to go ahead and check the office on that. That would make sense. I'll get back to you.
Nice day.
No, Ivy Council, that would be under the committee expenditures. That's another one of the expenditures that we go ahead and when appropriate, we just present that to the board, AFSCOM, and then the assembly for a very quick approval.
Okay.
As well as the SUNY SA conference.
Right. I'm just curious, do you have like this sort of program? I think it's ideal.
It's pretty much at the discretion of the students and with. I mean, this is our own budget instead of tying our hands right now, just because we saw how last year with certain budgets. I'm just kidding. You did a great job. Sometimes you can over-allocate, under-allocate, and since we can never do that exact, it makes sense to go ahead and just present the expenditures as they come up. And once again, the things you can break out now, like elections, clerk, administrative, SSD, we do that, but then stuff like that. What's that? You know, I don't know offhand. I remember you had asked me that, and is that a major concern?
Well, I know that's come up in the past with
that.
I don't know if you should do. It's not like a big deal, but when you think about it in terms of accountability, we're all elected members. We don't get food. I don't really want food. That's fine. It's not an issue for me. But when people look at it and they say, well, you know, people who are not really elected members, they're appointed members, they spend $1,000 on food, it can just be problematic. I know that's an issue in the past. I'm not sure if it's something that we want to discuss, but at least there's.
What I can tell you is the SSC vote for this year isn't very different from last year. So whatever
it's
was
not very different from last year.
Right, they're not spending thousands of dollars more on food this year. It's very similar.
Let me add one quick thing. When I went to the SAFC, the interviews to fill in the new commissioner spots, they're very responsible with it. I mean, yes, they do have food, but they have food when they're there from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And, they're there over the course of three meals. They'll normally only get lunch, too. And something like this, where they're doing the budget hearings this weekend, again, just get, you know, one full meal and maybe some snacks throughout the day. Nothing different than what Appropriations Committee does or what other groups do when they apply for bylaw funding, too.
So, move the previous question.
Second.
Okay, so a motion with the previous question. There's been a second. There's a dissent. Okay, do you withdraw your motion?
No.
Oh, he's not withdrawing his motion. So we're going to vote. All in favor of moving the previous question, please raise your hand. All opposed? Two opposed. Okay, so on that, we're going to move to previous question. So if you're voting yes, you're voting to approve the 2007-2008 Student Assembly budget. If you're voting no, you're voting not to approve the 2007-2008 Student Assembly budget. Okay, this is a roll call vote, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I don't vote.
Yes.
Yes.
She's not here.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Unanimously. Okay, so the 2007-2008 Student Assembly budget is passed unanimously. The next item on business of the day is the essays allocation of the activity fee. The first group that's supposed to be here is Welcome Weekend at 5:15, but we're running a little bit ahead of schedule. So
I'm going to table that until 5:15.
Okay, so it's been a motion to table. Well, we don't have to do that.
Okay.
What we can do, we can move on to unfinished business, Resolution 3, resolution requesting the implementation of gender-neutral housing in the residence halls. Vince, are you prepared to present this now?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right, so Vince, you have 5 minutes. and the speakers list is open as well.
University of Southern Maine was the most general neutral policy of all the
it's called. They ask students to, one of their stipulations is they ask students to sign a contract. Their contract is, if you go into the room for place, you have to find another person to enter the suite or the room if they leave. So they're not going to be responsible for bringing someone into the room, but don't bring people in.
Time's up. Speaker's list is open. First speaker is Vice President Gett.
Thanks, Vince. First, I do want to applaud the effort and time you spend working on this. I know this is an important issue, and you have taken a lot of effort to make sure that it's thorough. Once again, like you mentioned, Vince is at the executive board meeting on Tuesday evening. We discussed this. And my major concern, as I voiced last week, was that, like any issue, any change in policy at the university, there needs to be enough data out there to support the assertion that this is going to increase well-being on campus, or data to which asserts that it's not going to cause a major issue. And my main concern was regarding sexual assault, sexual harassment, any increased incidence of rape in college campuses, which has done this. And once again, you've spoken to a few colleges, and they, of the colleges you were able to get in touch with, this wasn't a problem? There wasn't any increased incidence of...
No, there was no concern of sexual assault on rape, and I also had a chance to say this for 5 minutes. I did research for 2 hours at the exec board meeting, and it actually showed that putting all males together into a certain room or into some sort of housing actually creates more prone towards sexual assault. So it's kind of more the opposite than putting guys and girls together.
Right, but in terms of in terms of statistics, you were able to get in touch with 3 colleges.
As in statistics?
In terms of statistics, you were able to talk to residence hall directors?
I called residence hall directors, and all of them made a statement that the incidence of sexual assault and rape has not changed since
the implementation of a gender-neutral housing policy. Program. And do you know how many colleges and universities nationwide have done this recently? Have adopted this new policy versus the...
According to the 2007 Genius Index, which is General Equality National Index for University and Schools, look that up. Give
me. Motion to extend the speaker's time. Spend it by 1 minute.
All right. Make yourself the top of your head. You give me a ballpark number.
There's 30, and for the top 25 universities, University of Penn, Caltech, Dartmouth, Brown, and Carnegie Mellon have general neutral housing. I think either suite, apartment style living, or individual rooms.
Okay. And the other thing, I still think we need to have more data and more research on the actual outcome of this new policy we have. Secondarily, though, there's a lot of clauses in here which just aren't appropriate for this resolution. It's not appropriate to be, if this is going to the university administration to make a policy change, some of these just aren't appropriate. I'm sure other members of the assembly will speak to that. But at this point, I don't think it's appropriate we pass this resolution. I don't think we're going to get to it today anyway, but it is a good start.
Next speaker is Sanjeev.
I understand your proposal, and I was actually really surprised.
think about switching it for just simple rights and all the time, but that's the first file. So I would also like to know what's the thing that you're broke up with?
Oh, I didn't get to that point. I said at the executive meeting, Joe Burke said that he is waiting for what the student assembly is going to make a decision about, because he is very hostile to whatever the student's wish. The student assembly is the sound board of the student's voice. And it will be very, as long as the student assembly makes the decision within the next 2 to 3 weeks regarding the implementation in the house.
Next speaker, Mark.
Yeah, actually, Adam kind of touched on what I was specifically going to mention. I know that the most important clauses in your resolution are the fee available clauses. And some of the whereas clauses are a little bit. I think maybe we should aim for, in theory, I support the aims of the resolution insofar as I think the options should exist, but I think it should neither encourage nor discourage. I support it because the option to live with somebody of a different gender exists outside of Cornell. If this university prepares people for like the real world, then I think that option should exist here. But I get the sense from a lot of the whereas clauses that by passing this, it can also be interpreted that we're kind of encouraging people to live in gender-neutral housing arrangements. I don't necessarily want to do that. Like, I know there's this right that co-education housing leads to a brotherly, sisterly environment that fosters the community. I'm not comfortable with a lot of these assertions. I'm not sure, regardless of whether people would approve of
co-educational housing just means, like, in use and court. That's co-educational housing.
Okay.
The data shows that if you put males and females within the same housing system, that you create a more understanding like between both genders instead of just separating it between all diagnosis. I would just cite the data. Co-educational housing is different than general neutral housing.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying. But yeah, as far as I would re-examine some of the whereas clauses and try to make it. I support you without encouraging or discouraging.
Okay.
Next speaker is Vice President Slick.
Yeah, I completely agree with Mark and Adam, especially number 17. I can't imagine going to the administration and saying, and the most common put-down phrase in high school is, "That's so gay." I just don't think that's a
from the research of sexual assault and rape that I was trying to bring forward. It was a statistical study done that the most put-down phrase.
Okay. I also am concerned. I mean, we speak a lot in this resolution about discrimination, but you only implement this to upperclassmen. So what fundamental change? Well, West Campus, there's nothing here for North Campus. So what fundamental change happens between freshman and sophomore year that allows someone to decide who they live with?
They become adults. Why do not North Campus might not be?
Is there? There's no statistical data on that, then.
And we can't legal adults, that's the best way of putting it. And you get into issues of parents. But you can, so let's something happened in the University of Southern Maine, is on the application, they had a checkbox where you prefer living with the same gender.
Okay.
And if they put no, then they would end up calling you.
Okay, I understand. Welcome weekends here. We table them until 5:15. It's about 5:20. Can I motion to put this back on the table for later in the meeting once we finish with Welcome Weekend and Minds Matter, and then if we have time, we can get to it. And I think Vince is going to do some work on it in the next week.
There's been a motion to table Resolution 3. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent? Yes.
Yeah. Is that all right?
Okay. So all in favor of tabling Resolution 3, please raise your hand.
Did table at a specific time?
Just later in the meeting.
6:45.
Okay. So Resolution 3 is now tabled. welcome weekend. We're all set for that. So, right on the ramp.
Yeah, she.
paid until 6:40.
I'm glad you're fine.
Adam's always fine. I don't get anyone to laugh at them. Adam's always
fine. Okay, so next on business of the day is the student activity fee allocation for Welcome Weekend. However many representatives from Welcome Weekend would like to come up and make their presentation. It's in there. I couldn't find the month amount of budget in mine. Yeah. It was not put into my packet, so it's cross separation when we come to it. That's pretty good. Okay. Great. So if anyone could just pull out the Welcome Weekend budget. I want to welcome you guys to the full SA meeting. Thank you very much for coming again. We're going to run this very similar to the way we ran it last week. You all are going to have 5 minutes to make a presentation, so you have your slides all ready to go. Once you finish, Adam is going to quickly surmise the decision of the Appropriations Committee, and then from there we'll take speakers and comments from either the General Assembly or from any spectators out of here as well, any community members. Okay? So the time is yours, and thanks again for coming. Just speak into the microphone a little bit. Just real quick, can you speak into the microphone just a little bit more? I'm having a tough time hearing. Thank you.
Also, on Thursday night, we have a rotating set of events. Usually, it's a dance party or a movie on the campus. Kind of a low-key event, and then we really have a really strong event with over 1,000 attendees at the casino night. One of the biggest casino nights on campus Friday. And on Saturday, we have a street fair. On Thursday, we also have a pick-up on the quad like Lisa talked about, and we have a nighttime event, and both of these have also been bringing in the numbers significantly over the past few years. Friday night, casino night, always a favorite here in Lord Strait. Tons of prizes, lots of giveaways, and we had a great turnout despite the rainstorm that happened. And then Saturday night, we have street fair. So it's basically like a carnival on the plaza, karaoke, lots of giveaways, a lot of vendors. We partner with a lot of people in the community, as well as a lot of student organizations here on campus. And then finally on Sunday, we wrap it up with Club Fest, which is an opportunity for over 300 student organizations to recruit new members at the beginning of the school year. So Lisa, and then finally our spring event. And we have had a spring event in the past. This past spring we decided not to have one because we felt it didn't fit our mission necessarily, but if funds are available to us, the new board, executive board, may decide to do another event. So as you can see, the numbers have really been increasing over the years.
So we just wanted to take the opportunity to tell you a little bit more about what our plans are for the next year. We're going to be recruiting new officers and hopefully getting a lot of talent to run our events for next year and decide on new options that make our events more visible to campus from students and professors and staff. We hope to purchase a new laptop computer as well. Our current computer is kind of not working at all. We wish that was a class console or something. And we really want to increase our publicity budget and efforts in order to draw on more people to our events. Also looking at recruiting more volunteers. We often need up to 100 volunteers per evening, so also great experience for students, so really putting our efforts into that. And finally, considering if we're going to do a spring event. So most likely we'll have to do low-key, probably a new United States board, and that will be up to the new board. So if you guys have any questions, we would love to answer them.
Actually, at this point, Adam's just going to quickly, I got you time expired a little bit. So right now, Adam's just going to quickly surmise the decision of the Appropriations Committee.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for coming in, guys. The Appropriations Committee once again voted 14-0 unanimously to fund the group at the requested amount of $3 per student. The committee was very impressed, obviously, with their budgeting, leadership, and they've had a very strong attendance record to provide a necessary service on campus. And just all in all, the committee was very comfortable with recommending the full $3 allocation. There wasn't any dissension, there weren't any complaints. And in terms of the appendices, the group abides by everything that was recommended during the last cycle. So we really saw no reason not to fund a group of $3.
Okay, speakers list is now open. First speaker is Representative R. Salem.
This is just out of curiosity. What caused this deficit from 2003-2004? So there's a deficit of like about $2,800. Yeah. this is in the budget of 04-05. I was just curious. Alright, that's fine. Just for the sake of time. Yeah, alright. And also, how much did you say you were...
I think this may have been a year that's transitioning over. You might have to, if that's the year that it was a slight deficit, you probably have to have investors license the bandwidth. And the year I chaired it, you discussed it with my better deficit report.
Okay, and you said you wanted to purchase a new computer. How much money did you say you needed for it?
I mean, it's really important for us that we have so many marketing materials that we need to put throughout campus, and especially when cooperating with someone like
XML guiding, we really want professional programming. And that, and we don't have Photoshop, we don't have InDesign, so that's what we're watching to do. And really, you know, create videos and things like that at all the inspiring finish more.
Yeah. I was just wondering, like, the necessity of it, considering, like, most students already have the computer. I think it might, like, save some money if you just, like, purchase the program as opposed to just having a whole other computer.
But then this is still graduating, right? So then, like, for the future, we have to keep things going. At the same time, we have so many historical files for a lot of these agendas. It's great to just have it on a central hard drive. There are
Representative Asker.
Thank you. I want to commend you guys first. I think you guys are doing a great job in the UConnect program. It's wonderful. The type of money you should be seeing for any group that's buy-on funded. I think that the computer makes sense because, I mean, you guys do have events for all over the place and you can be portable to have all of your information for. So I think that's cool. So two questions. One is, I noticed from 04, 05, your publicity spent that year was 400, I think 600 total, and all of a sudden it went up to like close to 2,000. Exactly. I'm just wondering, is something changing the way that you guys are looking at the events, or what?
We actually really upped our marketing campaign on campus. Before, we had a problem being differentiated from the OSC. So really, we employed more professional print techniques and other things. So okay. That's why, and also being more apparent in daily
events like that. Beautiful. And the other question is, I was just curious why you guys think there's going to be a $14,000 surplus in, like, I noticed that the surplus you guys have in the budget is about $2,000 a year, but the budget for this year is like a $14,194 surplus. I'm just wondering why it's so large.
Oh, yeah, that surplus
was
about $15,000 actually, and
there's actually no speakers on the speakers list right now, so if any other assembly members or any members of the community wish to ask welcome to begin. Yeah, I'll give you one more minute.
So that makes sense to me, but the only thing I don't get is that you guys are doing a community budget of $36,000 over here, so I mean, $14,000 is a pretty good chunk of that. So two questions. One, I'm not sure how for next year you guys all start taking surplus on the 301, where you guys can, if you guys can come in and anticipate to use that approximately 14,000 for this year. And second, if you are getting co-sponsorships and whatnot, I mean, a lot of those groups, I know that you guys get sponsorships, but are also buying funding. So, can you talk about that? Like, I think that this year is going by point, right? It's pretty good.
We move on to the next speaker. So there's been a motion to move to the previous questions. There's a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Call for action.
can't do that. We have to do a roll call vote for this. So see no dissent. Just to review, if you're actually before we do this, I will give the group one last minute here for any closing statements that they might have. Move over to Vice President Gay for any closing statements that he might have, reiterating the Appropriations Committee's decision, and then we'll move on to a vote. So go ahead and take one more minute.
First of all, on behalf of Wellcome Weekend, we'd like to thank you all for giving us this opportunity to share with you what our organization strives for and to be service here at the university. As your VP of Finance has pointed out and through our presentation, I think we've made it clear that we are a deserving organization and that we should be fully funded to the $3 per student amount. And once again, thank you, and we hope to see you out at some of our events next fall.
Okay, thank you. And Vice President Giff?
Yeah, and thank you guys for coming. We appreciate it. Once again, appropriations, because this is pretty cut and dry. 14-0 voted in favor of funding the group fully to request at $3 per student. So, complaints, I think we should be good to go.
Okay, so just to review, voting yes, you're voting to uphold Appropriations Committee's decision to fully fund Wellcome Weekend. If you're voting no, you're voting against the Appropriations Committee's decision.
Yes.
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 He left the room. He didn't leave anything.
Yes.
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 Yes. Proxy, yes. Great. So unanimously, funding is fully approved. Thank you very much for coming by. We appreciate your time. Okay, so at this point, I do not believe that Cornell Minds Matters here yet. Right now, Vice President Flicklin is out making copies of the Minds Matter budget because they weren't included in the binder. Sorry about that. So we have about 20 minutes right now to go over some additional resolutions. We could bring up Resolution 3, Resolution Requesting Implementation of Gender-Neutral Housing, back off the table. Vince isn't here to do that. Okay. Resolution 4 is also sponsored by Representative Hartman, and Resolution 2 is sponsored by Vice President Clifton, who's not here, and Parliamentarian Redmond. Would you prepare to present that on your own?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we're going to move on to New Business Resolution 2. A resolution regarding change to the charter by Vice President Flicklin and Parliamentarian Redmond. Okay, you have 5 minutes.
All right, so this resolution is pretty straightforward. When we passed the standing rules earlier this year, 2 weeks ago, there was a rule, Section 2, Rule 9, stated that the office of assemblies must post the agenda to the students and the website related to the meeting on the day of the meeting. And this rule was in conflict with the charter. So this is what we're doing. We're just eliminating the department charter that says the agenda today will be made public at least 24 hours prior to the commencement of the meeting. So there's no problem.
Great. Okay. This list is now open. Representative Wang.
Quick question. So, if you're going to strike that comment rule, does that mean that you will never post or there will never be something public?
No. In the standing rules section, you don't have a copy of the standing rules, but Section 2, Rule 9 says that the office of assemblies must post the agenda to the student assembly website no later than noon on the day of the meeting. So, it's just changing the times.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Other speakers. Representative Bates.
Yeah, so, I don't know. My only concern, again, is the fact that, I mean, per the article in the Sun today about, essay elections is also really touching on interest in the public for what the essay is doing, and if we're making it more difficult, or in a sense, or making it so that what we're doing comes up later, closer to a meeting, that kind of excludes the public more from knowing what goes on here and participating. So, I mean, that's my only concern. But at the same time, I feel like really there's a practical reason for the fact that it's just very difficult to compile a full agenda for 4 hours before the meeting. So I guess that's kind of come full circle. So I guess in a perfect world, 24 hours would be fine, but in this case, I guess we'll have to do.
Do you want to respond to that?
Pretty much the reason for doing this is because it's very difficult to get the agenda out 24 hours before the meeting. In addition to having to email to all the students and the members, it's just really hard. So,
other speakers? Representative Salem. Okay, so there's been a motion on the table, and is there a second?
Okay.
There's a second, is there any dissent? Okay, I see no dissent since this is a charter change, we can't vote on it today. So, thank you very much. Okay, so there's been a motion to move Resolution 3 from the table, resolution requesting the implementation of gender-neutral housing in the residence halls. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second, is there any dissent? See no dissent. Resolution 3 is brought up off the table. Representative Hartman, the floor is yours. Yeah, I have that right here. Next person on the speakers list is actually CJ. He's not here. Next person after that is Representative A. Salem. Do you want 5 more minutes to talk? There's a lot of speakers on the speakers list who were on from before. I think they just want to throw some questions at you. So.
Go for it.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say hear a little bit from you as to why is it that certain work and clauses are in your resolution that pretty much don't really advance your idea and don't really sort of help the policy. Rather, they're mere clauses that sort of just state stances on each, like, there were on whereas clauses, and, you know, we're supposed to, if we vote on this and we vote yes, and we have to be forcing everyone to accept all of these runs whereas clauses, and you're sort of earning your veto, therefore, resolved. And I just don't understand why do you feel it was necessary to add all these whereas clauses. It's just, I feel it's superfluous, unnecessary, and adds zero substance.
I just had all the awareness clauses because I wanted you guys to get information about the topic before I came forward. They were all where all the information from newspaper clippings, from research I've done. And to be honest, you guys can eliminate all the whereas clauses and just keep the resolve clause at the end, because that's what the recent resolution resolve clause is, the action. So if you wanted to eliminate every single whereas clause and just keep the resolve, that'd be fine with me.
Okay, great. So you would entertain an amendment to strike all of the whereas clauses and to say, whereas the student assembly feels it's necessary to establish gender-neutral housing, be it therefore resolved, and then take the rest of your clauses?
I entertain anything. Go for it. I mean, you guys can do your amendment on yourself. I mean, I would probably vote for it. There's no friendly amendment, so if you want to do that, make an amendment and I'll vote for it. With you.
Okay. I'm not going to make the amendment right now. I just was interested to see what we actually say about the resolution. And just like I would argue in the future, if you bring a resolution, like, don't bring it with a bunch of information that you really aren't really
needed. Representative Asker.
Thank you. Okay, so to try to respond to what people said before, I think this is a good way to start this process. That is very difficult for us to vote on this, given that people are kind of, not saying that anything is against each other, I don't agree with whereas clauses. Not that I personally agree with it, but it's definitely having to back up, I think, issues in this resolution. I don't think that we should strike this down. Obviously, it's something that people want, like the students want. It's a good way to begin, like, into the conversation. And I think the point that we have talked about is very good as well. I think that the university wants to implement this, but it's not new. It's kind of a good idea. So, given that, given the extent that Joe is open to the idea, I wanted to make an amendment. Instead of passing this resolution now, the way it says, the final resolve clause says, the final resolve of the aforementioned implementation of gender-neutral housing will be further studied by a committee on gender-neutral housing at Cornell, who will update the student assembly bimonthly and present a final report 2 weeks before the end of the semester. Basically, so that
We get to vote on it from this semester, so it can be implemented potentially for next year. It's basically a 3-year exam. And also, part of my amendment, I went through a number of other RAD clauses. I also want to strike RAD clauses 7, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So 7 is where crown students will be able to obtain a greater understanding of the gender-related issues that live in gender compatible agreements. Basically, I'm just striking the ones that we don't have any proof, like if someone's saying it, but it's not actually in the school yet. 14 is the bottom of that page, 7 down, is where there's a widespread unwritten rule among residents of the permission of whatever. Strike that one. 15 is the top of the next page, and whereas while data is not available, so it shouldn't be in there. I'm not going to 15. 16 is where I've decided to construct my gender difference. Again, that's just 15, so that's just 15. 17 is going to be homophobia around the public, homophobia among men. I think if you have statistics for that, that would be great. Cite it, but if there's nothing to cite, it shouldn't be there. And that's it. My number is striking those. Those 5 whereas clauses and making the amendment to the final result clause. But basically, the amendment is amenable to everyone who's sitting there based on the concerns people brought up so far. Since the chair of the committee, you can put an RFP on it, you can put someone from residential programs, anyone else who feels it's appropriate with Ryan. And then basically, they can present it to the court so you can have something tangible to go to the administration with so that we can actually implement it if that's what people want.
Okay, so there's been a motion to amend this resolution to strike whereas clause number 7, whereas clause number 14, whereas clause number 15, whereas clause number 16, and which resolve clause? Say it one more time.
Also whereas clause number 17.
And whereas clause number 17.
15, 16, and 17 are the top 3 on the paper page.
Got it. And then there's one of the resolve clauses as well.
This is the last resolve clause is going to be amended to say the final resolve that the added aforementioned implementation of gender neutral housing will be further studied by the SA committee. The SA committee on gender neutral housing in Cornell, chaired by the department. We'll update the student number. We'll update the student number bi-monthly and present a final report to the SA 2 meetings before the end of the fall of 7th semester. This semester, yeah.
Okay, so review.
Just a few meetings, we need to ration out this time to go before.
Understood. So to review, to strike whereas clause 7, 14, 15, 16, and 17, and to amend the final, be a final resolve as Representative Asbury had stated prior. Do you have any comments on this amendment?
I don't want to be the first
Okay, well, we're going to discuss this amendment. So there's a speaker's list, and the first speaker will be Representative Harper.
I'm personally fine with striking out the whereas clause. My only concern is about the committee. I thought it was kind of tell you guys when I met with Joseph Burke that Western Campus will be doing internal housing audits in November and maybe in late October because people go into off-campus leases really early now. And so when they do their internal housing audit, if it's done, they're going to choose these, and by the time they do it, we won't be able to implement it for the fall of 2008. So that's what I was trying to tell you. We have to have our, what we're going to do if we want it done next year within, like, 3 to 5, pushing. That's the thing Joseph Burke said. If it's what the students wish, that's fine, as long as you give the administration enough time to implement it. So that's only my main concern about the last result clause. You wouldn't be voting on it until the end, and you wouldn't see your retaining come into effect until 2 years, and then we're all gone and we don't see what's happened.
Vice President Lab.
Okay, I think we're all, for the most part, in agreement that this resolution particularly is not going to pass. And Mazak, to respond to the committee, that would mean we have 3 committees relating to campus housing, and you know, when we create too many committees, it becomes less streamlined, it's not very productive. We have SA Committee on Residential Community Life, there's a Campus Life Student Advisory Committee, which we have 2 to 3 representatives sitting on.
let's work with these committees that we have already staffed. I think it's just going to be less efficient, less streamlined. And you don't really need a, you don't need a resolution for that. Just, you know, go to the first or the next Res Life meeting, get more information about it, talk about it, have it an issue that committees and community members are talking about, and then I think that would be more effective. And I don't know if I'm able to do the check if you're talking about the amendment, but I wanted to table it indefinitely because at this point, I think it's just best to work with the bodies that we have in place, not create another committee.
Okay. On the point of this amendment, I do not believe we can table the resolution while we're discussing an amendment in parliamentarian or somebody who knows. I don't know the legality of tabling a resolution while
I'm encouraging no to the amendment because we're talking about the amendment right now.
If you motion to table an amendment, definitely vote on immediately. If you get 50% of the vote, the amendment dies. You can't discuss.
Fine.
The motion,
yes,
to
you're right.
Definitely.
Okay. So the point was the motion. Yes. The point was the motion to table the resolution.
So I motion to table the amendment indefinitely.
Okay. So it's been a motion to table the amendment indefinitely. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay. So seeing no dissent, we're going to vote. All in favor? Second.
Or that.
Okay. So Representative Asbury withdraws the amendment. Next, actually, and there's an empty speakers list because we're not discussing the amendment anymore. Representative Coombs.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Mine's going to be a little bit like Anthony's, but I'm going to separate the, there's not any of the part about the committee. I'm just going to move to strike certain whereas clauses. Before we find out the date of the I would take a little bit further than that. I want to move to strike using the same numbering system. Whereas clause 7, 8, 9, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And also on number 10, to strike everything past where it says opposite gender comma, where that little whereas, that mini whereas, to strike that. Sentence, whereas it is only a matter of traditionalist practice that Cornelians cannot live in members of the opposite gender.
I'm just gonna jump in here for 1 second. I think it might be more efficient if Representative Hartman pulled this resolution off the table right now, and those that have issues with certain whereas clauses, contact Representative Hartman. Sir, you can see which ones are having a difficult time here. Bring this to us next week, cleaned up. I don't think it's going to behoove anybody right now to try to strike the entire resolution.
I'm fine with all those things you said. So. And based on parliamentary procedure, you guys brought the resolution to the table. You guys want to table again. You as an assembly have to do it. I can't pull it. It's your resolution. So I can't. I just decided if someone said motion to table it, then it's tabled. I can't pull it.
Well, the only thing I don't sense much discomfort with the actual resolution with certain whereas clauses. Just kind of limit it down to very bare bones. Whereas, like, is there much discomfort from the thing? Okay. Then I won't move the table. But I'll move that.
Representative Sarah.
Are we talking about the
amendment? No, they met people. No. We didn't call for it in a second. No. Representative Sarah. Second resolution. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think we should stop trying to make amendments to other resolutions. Gender neutral housing. There are plenty of opportunities to do so on campus.
Residence Hall creates a communal environment where you have directors, the RA, and the GRS. So by pushing people off campus, you're not allowing people to have these resources. So we shouldn't be pushing people away, bringing them onto our campus environment.
Right, I'm not saying we're pushing people off campus. I think there's one of the resources that exclude you from the dorms. There are some organizations. I can't think of the names of where you're off campus. I know there are resources for people like counseling. I mean, what kind of resources are you talking about? Just having an RA or a student on all the time? That's something different from having a parent. Also, you said this is applying to adults using software as you receive. So if they're adults, then they should not necessarily need an RA or a student saying, hey, you know, I'm confident they're fine. They can seek out answers on their own if they're fully confident in adults.
Well,
actually, time. It's 2 minutes right now. Vice President Strickland.
We have another group coming in at 6, and I'd like for everyone to review the Minds Matter packet, so I'm going to motion for a 5-minute recess.
It's been a motion for a 5-minute recess. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? See no dissent. We're going to take a 5-minute recess. Be back here as soon as possible.
Yeah, they should be passed down. Here. Did you grab one? Make sure Adam gets one. Girlfriend today. She was in my building. Huh? Tell her to get the hell out. Tell her to get out. I don't want her.
Okay. This meeting is called back to order at 6:02. Next group on the agenda is Cornell Minds Matter. If any representative of Cornell Minds Matter want to come up to the microphone, prepare for their presentation. Thank you so much for coming back today. We appreciate your time. The way this is going to work, you all are going to have 5 minutes to just make some brief introductions. And please introduce yourselves, introduce your organization. After you're finished, Vice President for Finance, Adam Gay, is going to quickly summarize the decision of the Appropriations Committee. Just going to give everybody a quick rundown about what the decision was and how we came to that decision. And then at that point, members from the general body or from the Assembly itself will have a period to ask you all questions or make comments. And then we'll take it from there. Does anybody have any questions? Great. So your time is 5 minutes. You can anytime you'd like.
Hi, I'm Valerie, and I'm president
of the Okay. Vice President Gay.
Hey, thanks for coming back, guys. It's like a regular occurrence now, every few days. Okay, so the SA Appropriations Committee voted 13-1 to fully fund the Cornell Minds Matter Group at the requested amount of $1 per student. Not only was the committee extremely impressed with the dedication and resolve of the group, after all, they did apply as a new group to this entire bond funding process, which takes the lives just in and of itself. But the Appropriations Committee was very impressed by the group's mission, its function on campus, and the services they provide. We especially felt that given the nature of mental health services already available on campus, they do feel, this group really does fill a niche which otherwise wouldn't be covered. And also after talking to you guys for about an hour on Monday, the group felt that with this extra money, the group could truly expand their services and it couldn't really utilize the money well. So once again, the Appropriations Committee voted 13-1 to fully fund the group at the requested allocation of $1 per student.
Okay, speakers list is now open. First on the speakers list is Vice President Slick.
All right, I'll be the first to admit I was initially against giving Minds Matters funding, but after Monday's meeting, my opinion really took a 180, and I really have to commend your advisor who really changed my mind on that. I was talking a lot. I was trying to get, you know, ask questions to see maybe we could combine you with another group. And that's not the case. It's not possible. You guys have a great mission. What you do is phenomenal for the Cornell community, and you do it so well independently of any other organization. I asked your advisor if, you know, another organization could take on the responsibilities that your group does, and she was very clear in stating they don't want it. This is what you guys do, and this really benefits the Cornell community. I could not support this group more for funding, and I hope that everyone else on the Assembly also agrees.
Representative Asker.
Thank you. Having gone through bond funding in the past, I'm sure you have this concern. The concern that I have, I'm not here to argue the merits of the group, because every single registered student, registered student organization on campus, still their mission on campus. They all have a valuable purpose. This group is no exception. But if you look at their budget doesn't exceed anywhere more than $3,000 or $4,000 per year. And the problem that I have is that basically we're budgeting them $13,500 when they have no deficit or need to have all that money. And I don't think they're going to be able to plan what they plan to do with that money. I just know that I'm not sure. But I'm going to look at this. So basically, the problem that I have is that they have been combined with FAC funding in the past. And if we grant this group, this group has got that FAC funding, and that FAC funding was ranged from $500, maybe a little bit more than that, to $2,000 this past year. I mean, we fund a group that affects, we fund a group that affects our basis is not numbers, because it has to be open to the number of but it has to be needed to get the guidance, they need lots of money, thousands of dollars. If we fund this group, then why do we have the SOC? Why do all groups have to do the SOC? And so, I don't know if Adam can respond to this, but I guess I just can't see why they were fine with SOC funding in the past, so why are we concerned with providing funding? And
I'll let the group respond to that first.
I would like Adam to respond.
You want Alex Director to start down?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's most appropriate group response, but one thing I would call your attention to was the grants which the group had received, and the SFC funding would only cover $2,000 during the last cycle, 2007 to 2008 cycle. But I think it really is more appropriate if the group could respond to that question.
That's only $4,000.
Well, the 2 minutes expires, so I'm going to give the group 60 seconds to go ahead and respond to what was said.
Thank you.
Vice President Loudon.
Yeah, I sort of want to echo that and kind of respond to your statement, Mazdek, that they have been fine with SFC funding. I was also at Monday's meeting, and I believe they have not been fine with SFC funding. From their presentation, I don't think they're at their peak. They have a lot of potential, and they're only reaching fractions of the Cornell community, and I think it's a service that the entire Cornell community deserves. I know with new issues, not new issues, there was, I guess, recently illuminated issues throughout the nation, throughout college campuses regarding mental health and awareness. I know the administration has been taking steps to create a new mental health and welfare committee, and I think it's appropriate for the student body, and by us funding Minds Matter, by Minds Funding, I think we're doing that as well, taking a step in increasing awareness and advocacy. This is, I think it's very appropriate for us to be by funding Minds Matter.
There's a minute left, I guess, in my discretion, so if you all want to take some time to respond to that, take another minute. If there's nothing to be said, we can go on to the next speaker. That's fine as well. Representative Hartman, I got you.
I want to go back to what Tanaka said. I'm not going to be arguing with the group. It's kind of like what I was saying. We all agree with the group. I'm going to be concerned about the financial budget that they brought forward, especially for 2008, 2009, 2009, 2010, the last page. They put a training and conference. We just discussed this with our last group of patients. They want to spend $2,000 to attend people to a conference. It's $200 a person. I have personal qualms with that. They want to bring a publication forward for $2,000 cost of a quantity of thousands. We have many publications on campus that we do not fund. And I think if we start filing some of this publication, we're going to get into some really sticky issues of and that's why we do SAFC, all the publications go through SAFC. I don't know if we have publications that are bound funded that do publications. So like just have a similar circuit that's in these issues. And then I'm just kind of coming to the group. For in 2008 to 2009, you put posters on any events for 30. You have posters and you have $2,010 meant for that. And then you have daily sign at $1,008. I mean, is this what you plan to spend for posters and daily sign at? Like $4,000? It's been a motion to spend the speaker's time by 1 minute. for the 30 events, what do you guys plan to do? Because I'm just looking at the financing and you're doing $67 an event, the 30 events. The publicity. So the 2010 is the publicity for 30 events. What do you plan to do for 30 events? So that's a staggering number of events.
We've been on Representative Harner for some time. I don't mean to interrupt you, but there are a lot of speakers in the speakers list. So I want to throw some questions in your direction. So, Representative Salem. Hey, Salem. Representative Coombs.
Yeah, I want to give the group a chance to respond to something, because something Ben said actually is something I'm concerned about too, but I don't want to give you all the chance to talk about it. On this Active Minds conference, for instance, where there's 7 attending this year and then 10 next year. Why is that? How does that, how would you answer events and how would you, why is that, how does it benefit the entire Cornell community? Because the active purposes group definitely see the benefit. How would sending these students to a conference, how would the actual community see the benefits of that?
To attend a conference, or is it information you could exchange via email and phone?
I don't think there's any sort of training development like going to a conference. It's intensive. It's 3 days. That's all you're focusing on. You're in a break from the Cornell environment, and you can really develop those skills that will last instead of just.
Vice President Gay.
Thanks. I want to respond to a couple of the points which have been made, and once again, this is now on my own behalf. I'm no longer speaking on behalf of the Appropriations Committee, although, again, 13-1, they did support this group. First thing is that the group has shown through their budget and through the sources of revenue that SAFC funding will not be adequate. B, the big complaint which keeps bringing that MESDAC, they're not going to keep bringing up, is that they fill a void on campus, but that's not enough. And I do agree, there's a lot of groups which fill voids on campus, which we could fund them all. However, this is a vital niche which isn't being filled on campus. This is a vital service which they provide. This is the mental well-being of the community and mental health outreach. I think it's, you can't argue the point that this doesn't deserve funding. It's not simply a group which provides a service which might otherwise not be here at Cornell. In this case, it needs to be funded. Thirdly, this budget is consistent with what they submitted. Ahmed, you said that this budget isn't consistent with what they're applying for.
But I'm talking about extravagance, like for the conference, $2,000.
Okay, and on the note of the conference, they're only asking for $200 per person. That's certainly not extravagant. We've seen other conferences, Ahmed. We've seen other conferences where different groups have been applying for funding where they've been asking for much more than that. I think that's certainly reasonable to ask for $200 to go to a conference. And finally, on the publicity point, this is their mission. This is the point of the group. This outreach to the Cornell community requires them to actually be in contact with the Cornell community. They can't get people to their events. They can't let students know about their services. Students aren't going to be there, and they're not going to be successful. That's one of the main missions of the group. Hold on. How long is the speaker system?
You have 20 seconds. There's three additional people.
Okay, I'll just yield my time back to the chair.
Okay. Representative Bates.
I was basically in the exact same situation as CJ. I went in last week really having doubts. And again, like CJ on Monday, they were all turned around. I think the most important thing, as CJ started to touch upon, was the support of the administration. The administration was fully behind about the Cornell Lives Matter. And I'm in agreement they really satisfy a place of sore need in the community. That other organizations that focus more as sort of a counseling and sound work for student problems, the Cornell Lives Matter comes in and really is able to sort of not address students' current pressing problems, but instead focus on general mental health, not even mental health, but general well-being. I guess it's probably the best way to describe it. And I think it really is in many ways similar to EMS. Saw a week ago, in the sense that it's sort of, you know, you could argue that not every student is out there to need Lives Matter, need the church to provide, but they're always there if you need a depth of support, that sort of reinforcement of how you are, what you're doing. And I think second, if you think about funding limitations, that's the minimum that's proposed, that puts their budget at about the same as it has been the past couple of years. And I think one of the things that I really came out of Monday, you know, really believing strongly is that this group does need to expand their presence on campus. So that's why I really feel like a full dollar amount is essential because we want this group to have a bigger impact on campus.
Representative Sauer. Representative McGovern. Are there any other speakers for the first speakers list? Seeing no other speakers, we're going to move to the second speakers list. Vice President Slickman.
I just want to touch on a couple things that have been brought up. First, the advertising. I mean, I think this is the first instance we've had where we have a group that is truly committed to appealing to all students because, you know, no group came in here with all these Daily Sun ads and posters. I mean, great job, guys. You really want to expand this group, and you're not going to expand if you don't have the funds to do it.
50 cents is not fair. A dollar is. And we can't say it's not fair to other groups, because other groups are not lining up out that door and asking us for funds. And when they do, we'll decide on them. But right now, I see Mines Manners right in front of us. They have a great plan for the next 2 years on how to spend this money. They want to expand. They want to appeal to all students. They provide a service that all students can truly benefit from. I'd love to see a piece in a campus publication for someone else to get a similar idea. Maybe discuss issues on drug usage or obesity. But right now, this group really wants to address the issues that they're concerned about. If we say and put a stipulation in their in the appendices that maybe we reconsider. I mean, how many of you here are freshmen? No one. So the next time we do, we have people here that are committed to spending this money, and they're committed to getting involved. If we only give them 50 cents, they're not going to be able to grow, and then these students are going to be gone, and they're not going to be able to do it.
So I'm just asking, if anybody's skeptical, move beyond the skepticism for this initial go around and give these guys a chance.
Vice President Natarajan. Lance Powell, Representative Sarah.
Point of order. Representative Wang wants to speak, and he hasn't been on the first speaker's list yet.
Representative Wang is next on the speaker's list after Representative. Doesn't matter at this point. Representative Sarah. Representative Wang.
Hi. So I think what you guys are doing is a great work, and I think it's awesome. The problem is that I have is that, as you know, the students can be charged for $22 a year, and that a lot of other organizations are asking to increase the budget. But the reason we really want to make sure we don't increase the student fee a lot, because, you know, one lifetime thing.
A quick point of information. The group is not privileged to the information regarding the entire student activity fee.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to answer that.
So, I understand, millions of dollars for the fee, but, $2,000 for advertising is a little excessive. If there was any other student organization, you would definitely be denied $2,000 to advertise, because that's a lot of money for the student organization. So I feel like if you can restructure your budget,
the group has a little bit over a minute to respond to that. If they want, I don't know if the community member with her hand up in back is a member of your organization as well. If she wants to go ahead and respond during the minute, 10 seconds that remain. Sure, you can respond too, and I can just add her as a regular community member.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Joyce. I'm a second-year RA at Ball Hall. I'm a junior. I'm a psychology major. And as an RA, I am very involved and very interested with what's going on around campus and just the resources of offered. However, I just found out this year that last month, that there is an organization called Cornell Alliance Matters. And I'm a psychology major, a junior, a Bulge RA. I tried my hardest to be in touch with, all the different countries of Cornell authors. And I'm just so surprised that, I don't think that anyone few people really realize that not many people know about this organization. And I just wanted to address the issue about international students here.
Just real quick, your time's up. I'm going to spend your time about 1 minute.
Okay. Dancing. I just wanted to emphasize that I don't know, not a lot of people realize the social stigma of mental illness, especially with regard to people of Asian descent. And I'm not, I'm Asian, yeah. But especially with regard to Asian descent because of the huge social stigma of even mentioning like mental illness. It's huger than like Western culture, like just, you know, general Western culture. This social stigma is so huge. Like, I think that people knowing that there is such an organization exists, Porn Online Matter exists, just by looking around and seeing these ads, Porn Online Matter shows that Cornell University cares about mental issues. Just even seeing that, oh, there is an organization that cares, that will listen, that will, you know, like, these issues are important. Oh, that would make someone, like, an international student feel so much better knowing such an organization exists. So I think that publicity might not be crucial. That's the end.
Thank you, Joyce. Representative Buttigieg.
I just want to say that yes, this is a big chunk of funding for this group, but when compared to some of the other groups who we fund, it's really not a lot. $1 for students is not a lot compared to some of the other groups. So I think what you guys are doing is great, and I just want to
second.
I'm going to call a question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. I want to take 20 seconds and explain your dissent.
I
I don't have you on the speaker's list, but if the reason... Okay, so your dissent is because you still want
to speak? Yeah, I would like to speak because some of the points were brought up.
Okay, we're going to vote to move the previous question. All in favor of moving the previous question, please raise your hand. Nine. All opposed. Not two-thirds. Okay, we're going to keep going. Next on the speakers list is Representative Lesick. Sorry.
Yeah, I just want to clarify a really quick point that was brought up earlier about SHC funding. Just this most recent assembly. The SHC will not fund clothing. There's a t-shirt in the expense here. They won't fund office supplies because they're not considered durable goods. They won't train fund for internal documents like training materials, and they won't fund for food. So I noticed there are a couple of events that involve food. Right.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.